travels. He was so youthful then, so callow. He is a one-man army.
Popcorn machines, you open the little door, they got the little scoop. You scoop it into a basket with one of those little, it's a little tissue-y kind of paper that you stick in the basket. You fill up the basket, you sit back and you enjoy a couple kernels of the old popcorn.
I hear you.
And enjoy we did.
It is a name that will continue. Remember this.
Popcorn, bitch.
You are listening to WFOD, friend to the hip hop community.
This thing we call the Dub Fod. My name is Mike. I am joined by my good friend, the king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, Coach T, Jaguar impressive, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Travis. The phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, coming up after the break, we are going to talk to Kenny White. Former colleague.
Old friend, Kenny White.
Yeah, former colleague, Travis. He used to do a podcast called Howie at the Coffee Shop. Looking forward to talking to him. I don't think we've ever actually spoken to him.
I don't think we have either, but yeah. He's made a movie now, so we have cause to.
He's actually made several movies, Travis. He has been making movies since 2006. Had no idea.
Holy shit, that should have been, he should have led with that.
Had no idea, Travis, so no, looking forward to talking to him. There's something that I want to start off with, and it's probably, I mean, like, you know, there's bigger news in the world. This isn't a big story, but what I think
everybody's covering the bigger news.
I think that it'll make you happy, Travis.
I like happiness.
There's a TikTok kid. I believe he's probably a millennial. I guess he's going to tell you the story, but I'll tell you a little bit of the story. So he gets in his car, and there's a CD in his car that his dad was driving around listening to. And he realized, listening to the song, that it was his dad's song. And he didn't realize that his dad had songs.
Oh, that's interesting.
You're gonna like this, Travis. Let me know. I just pulled the whole thing. I don't know if we'll stick with it, but I want to play a bit of it for you because I really enjoy this, and I want to believe it's real.
Let's believe happy stories are real, right? Like, we don't have to believe these staged people falling down and all that, but let's believe that a son discovered that his father at one point was a musician and his father didn't tell him beforehand. Let's believe that.
Okay, I just got out of therapy, and that doesn't really matter, but I don't know, I said it anyways. I'm in my car and my dad put music in here and I was enjoying it, and I found out that he wrote it in the 70s. It's really fucking good. Listen to this. Okay, wait, let me start over. Fuck.
Probably could have tightened this up a little bit.
What? What the fuck? It's so good. It's disco, but it's so good. That's him singing too.
And Charles, by the way, it is fucking good.
I don't know that I would classify that as disco.
It's a little disco. So anyway, this blows up on TikTok, and
of course, that's a wonderful story.
I guess like they just put it out on Spotify, and it's getting a shitload of views on Spotify because I guess he made it in the 70s. He'd never got a record deal, and so like it's just kind of been at his house.
I'm sure it's just been like sitting in a box or something. Right. Like, hey, remember when we did those couple of songs?
And every now and then,
busted it out.
He busts
feeling
it out.
Nostalgic one day.
Yeah, it drives around in his car listening to it, and he's like, "Man, we fucked up, man. This was good. This is good." You know, I imagine you probably do that. You know, if you booked studio time long ago.
Yeah, it's reminiscing. It's like, remember that time that we made that one single? We thought it was really good, but it never took off. And then we all had kids and separated and, you know, live our lives. Dude's probably like an account manager for some like law firm or something. And, you know, going through his life, his kid probably thinks his dad is super boring or something. And is like, all of a sudden he finds out, holy shit, before my dad was my dad, he was an actual human that had hopes and dreams.
Right. He did fun stuff. Anyway, you might want to look it up on YouTube. He was on Jimmy Kimmel the other. They played the song on Jimmy Kimmel.
Was the dad and the kid on?
Yeah. Yeah. Like the dad. I mean, if the dad made this song in the 70s, then he's probably fucking old as fuck. But guy was up there fucking rocking it.
Oh, did he actually played it?
Yeah. Like, no, they like
the song. He like
performed the song. Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. Good for that dude. And good for his kid for like giving that gift to his father, you know?
Right. I just thought it was a cool story. I want to believe it's true. I, you know what? I'm not even going to try to debunk it, Travis, because I want to believe it. And so,
yeah. And if somebody, and if you see it, if you scroll past something online where it's like, hey, remember that kid who stumbled upon his dad's music, just don't look at it, Mike. Just leave it alone.
See, if I see that, I'm gonna click it, Travis.
You gotta just leave it alone and just
but I'm not going to actively be the shithead.
Okay.
I'm not gonna do that this time. Like when I told everybody that Bobcat was fake, I'm not gonna do it this time, Travis. Everybody wanted to believe that Bobcat, and I was the one that shit on it. I was a bad person, and I feel bad about it.
Well, it's the same thing as that, you know, with what's going on in the world today, the whole ghost of Kiev story or whatever. Like, it's like somebody had to go out of the way to like debunk that. I
mean, did they debunk it, Travis? Is it not true?
It's not true. It was multiple fighter pilots took down, you know, the planes that they said the one person did.
I mean, still pretty good, right? Like,
yeah, it's good, but it's like, can't we just have our tall tales, our like inspirational tales? Like, just let us strive for something, right? Let's like that. I've been on a Shark Tank kick lately because when we were in Disney, you know, they didn't have a lot of channels because Disney would not put any Viacom channels because obviously it's their direct competitor with like Nickelodeon and stuff. So they didn't have like,
oh, you just Comedy can't get Central Viacom? Or,
yeah, no Viacom channels at Disney. So, but like CNBC or something was on there. So like Shark Tank popped up and I'm like, oh, that's right. I really like Shark Tank and I haven't watched it in years. So we popped it up on Hulu and I've been on like a Shark Tank kick. And, you know, like sometimes it's fun when they shit on people and whatever. But like when there's like true inspirational stories, it makes me really happy. And sometimes I choke up and I just want there to be more of that in the world and less like doom and gloom and garbage, right? Like just hey, this immigrant came from nothing and their parents sacrificed everything to send him to college and they came up with this idea and now they're able to like buy their parents a house in America. And you know, it's like, just let us
Mark
have
Cuban has 50% of his company now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's making him a multimillionaire.
You know what? I'll tell you what, I've never sought out Shark Tank, Travis, but I've also never turned it the fuck off. Like if it pops up, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch this.
Right. It's one of those shows that it's like, I'm the same way with like Intervention or Hoarders. Actually, and I can't even say that because I've gone on like benders with Hoarders for like a week at a time where it's like, oh, I haven't watched this show in years. And then just we'll watch like three seasons of Hoarders. But it's one of those shows that if it just pops on TV, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I like this, I think. And then just leave it on for like 4 hours.
Hey, Travis, did you see Peacock is making a television series about the PlayStation car murder games, Twisted Metal? They're making a Twisted Metal series. And
starring Anthony Mackie?
Yeah, is Anthony Mackie going to play the Axel guy, I guess? Because I guess that's the black guy.
Is that the guy that stood on the platform between the two giant wheels?
Yeah, like he's just in the middle of some wheels. He was really easy to kill because like he didn't have a car.
Only reason that dude was in the game because it was a cool looking design. Otherwise, that was garbage.
The whole game was just made because there was cool looking designs. Like, what was the story of Twisted Metal, Travis? Like, why were the cars fighting each other?
I think it was a lot like Death Race 2000, right? Where it's like, here, it's kind of a race. Everybody's trapped in this thing. But I think it was more supernatural than that. I'm like, oh, everybody's pulled down into the... It is like Mortal Kombat, I think.
Were they in hell? Like, oh,
I think kind of. It's like the like an other world, like Mortal Kombat. It's like, oh, is he the best car drivers in the world? We bring him to this debate. They got to fight for their freedom or money. I don't know.
Travis, the ice cream man, his head was on fire. He had a flaming head. And so there has to be some kind of supernatural element, I would imagine, because generally your head can't just be on fire. That's
no, unless you're Ghost Rider, you can't have a flaming head.
Yeah.
I will say Twisted Metal 2 for the original PlayStation was the best Twisted Metal. I hope they do it justice. There's been talks of Twisted Metal media, like motion picture generally is what comes up when they're like, oh, Twisted Metal's been optioned again. And it's always like, oh, they're going to do like, a movie. And like now it seems like when there's news like this, that it's going to a streaming channel, that it's 100% going to happen. So I'll be really curious to see what they do with it.
I think you could probably make it a movie, but I don't know. I guess each episode tells about one of the cars and
I would imagine you have to
car murderers.
Establish the world first. Right. And then it was like each racer gets their own backstory and then it culminates in the actual everybody gets into the pit and starts shooting the shit out of each other.
Yeah. I guess I'm curious about it. Not in like a, oh dude, this will be cool way, but like a, how are they going to do this way? Which I think is,
that's my thing.
How I am with this new Batman movie too. Like I keep seeing stuff for the new Batman and I keep thinking, what are they doing with this Batman? And I'm going to go see it probably opening weekend.
Right.
But I don't think I'm going to see it because I'm excited to see it. I think I'm excited to see it because I don't really know what it is or what they're going to do.
I can understand where you're coming from with that. Because that's the thing. It was like when Matt Reeves was, when he was the guy that they put in charge, I was like, oh, that's exciting. I really like him. And then even when they started casting it, I'm like, that's interesting casting. I wasn't angry about it, but I haven't, even with any of the glimpses, I haven't been excited about it. Like, and usually if I see a snippet of a new live action Batman, my pants are down, right? Like I'm so excited.
Right.
This one I've just been like interested in. I'm like, well, it looks cool. The casting is cool. The trailers make it kind of look like David Fincher's movie 7.
Are we
the way it's filmed,
victims to marketing, Travis? Is that what it is? Because I think that they're trying to be mysterious.
Maybe, but even if they were trying to, usually when movies are trying to be mysterious, I'm excited for them, right? Like, and with this, I'm not excited. I want to see it opening weekend.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not excited. I just am like, what is this going to be?
It ain't your mama's Batman, I can tell you that.
And I'm trying to stay away from spoilery reviews. It's hard to stay away from anything. And I just see that they're talking about how this one is even more grounded in reality than Christopher Nolan's. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like,
grounded in reality?
Christopher Nolan's movies were like as real life scenarios as possible. Like, what could this be that makes it even more grounded in reality?
I mean, not really, Travis. The Bane, he jumped out of the pit, and then he sent Batman to the pit, and then Batman got out of the pit, and then like was just back in Gotham City like in an hour.
Okay,
how did he fly there that quick, Travis? Grounded in reality.
Grounded in reality for the first two motion pictures, and right up until he somehow inexplicably arrived in Gotham with his Batman gear.
He blew up the whole football field, and that one guy was able to outrun the blowing up, Travis?
Yeah.
That's not grounded in reality. That's silly.
The fact that every police officer in Gotham City was trapped in the sewers for all that time, they couldn't figure a way for them to get out until Batman figured it out. Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. The Dark Knight Rises actually kind of sucks.
What I've been having problems with lately is my earbuds. They go quiet, and I thought it was like a software thing. I thought my phone was being weird, but I think my ears might just be funky. Because I Googled it, and I've been watching videos and trying to figure out how to fix my earbuds. Cause it's like several pairs of earbuds. And like, I bought more earbuds cause I was like, these fucking earbuds went quiet. And then like, I get new earbuds and they sound great for a while. And then they start sounding really quiet. And I think that my ear gunk is clogging up my earbuds. And so what it said to do is to get a Q-tip and some, isopropyl alcohol. And turn it upside down and rub it on the inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then suck on it. Like put it in your mouth and suck on it like as hard as you can. That's what the internet told me to do, Travis. So I tried it. I figured, fuck it. You know, I'll suck on it. Who gives a fuck, right? Fucking work, Travis. So I think that I did the process to unfuck all my earbuds, and now I just have a ton of earbuds and I know how to fix them.
You got to instead of actually sucking your ear gunk out of them with your mouth, you should get like a turkey bastery kind of utensil, like a dropper of some sort, and use the pressure from that instead of actually sucking your own ear gunk back into your body.
They said to suck. I didn't taste any ear gunk, Travis. I think that like the ear gunk is still there. I didn't like remove ear gunk. I think that I just got it out of where it was clogging things.
Sure. I can't relate to any of this. Like, I'm one of those people, and I don't know what percentage of the population this is, but I cannot wear earbuds at all. Like, I've tried many different styles and designs and materials, and it's impossible for me to wear earbuds.
Does it hurt, or do you just not like it?
They fall out. Mostly.
Uh-huh.
And
guys, Travis froze.
The U.S. is clearly trying to pre-bunk Russian claims rather than waiting for Russia to act or say something and then debunk it. Russia has been mocking this. They say the U.S. claims are false, that the West is engaging in hysteria. One Russian official said, wars in Europe rarely start on Wednesdays.
Me and all my friends just standing around. We're in our uniforms, but there's no warring to be found. Cause it's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And there's no war on Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
And there's no war on Wednesday. We're standing at the border, but we haven't got the order. Cause it's Wednesday. There's no war on Wednesday.
Dubfod goes hard.
He walks in on the boyfriend, raping his mom after he had just beaten the shit out of her. Little Jonathan goes to the kitchen, grabs a knife, slaughters the boyfriend, protecting his mother. Then he flips the fuck out and kills her too.
Shit.
After that, he spent the next 3 days alone with the corpses, When he got hungry, he'd eat leftover birthday cake and the occasional small helping of his mother's flesh.
Yeah, but never a bite of the boyfriend.
He raped his mother over and over again after she was dead. He cut up their bodies, swapping their sexual organs and faces. The room was almost completely covered in blood by the time they found him. The man's face was on his mother's body and had been painted up like a clown using icing from the birthday cake. Both faces had the lips cut off so that a smile could be permanently carved in the skin. The murder weapon was found as the sole item in the dishwasher, a kitchen knife covered with blood, cake, flesh fragments, and icing.
Jesus Christ.
Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you. Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you. Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you. Does this movie have horses? We're watching it for you.
Thank you to Rob Pastoria for this week's Horse Report. He saw Jackass 4 and can report that there was no horses, but there was two men in a horse costume.
Witness a scene of chaos. Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
I think we're back. Are we back?
Are we back?
Sure hope so, buddy.
My apologies to the listener for the technical difficulties. My computer must have realized how uninteresting that earbud conversation was and decided to shut itself down.
It just said, yeah, this is gross.
Yeah, why are they talking about this? I'm done. Just blacked out.
Vesman in the chat says 23andMe DNA tests can tell you if your earwax is dry or wet. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Does it vary? I feel like sometimes mine is dry and sometimes mine is wet. Is it always one or the other?
I don't know. I guess that's a good question. Have you ever had to have your ears flushed out?
No. Well, I mean, maybe I need to, and I don't know it. Maybe I'm a gooey boy, Travis. I'm a gooey boy that clogs my earbuds.
Yeah, the only time I've ever had to have them, I mean, I think when I was like a little kid, I think you get your ears flushed out. But I think the only time I had to actually go into the clinic and like have them like flush it out with water was I think I got water stuck in my ear one time when we were at a campground. I did like a flip underwater and then you know, the water gets stuck in your ear and you usually get it out. Well, this time it was like days and days and I couldn't get it out. And I went in to the walk-in clinic. I'm like, yeah, I can't hear out of this ear. I got water in there. It won't come out. It's been like 6 days. And they're like, oh, let's flush that shit out of there. And that, it was literally the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, because they flush it out and they hold like this. It's almost like a mini bedpan under your ear. And they're like, and all of a sudden when it flushes out, you just get this like whoosh in your head. And you're like, holy shit, like the world's back. And they're like, oh, hey, you want to take a look in the little bedpan? And then you look and it's like,
ew.
Why was that all in my ear? That's disgusting. And they did the other side, just because I was there, and that, that helped too. So yeah, I think maybe it's just like a maintenance thing. A person should just get their ear flushed out once in a while.
They should have a home thing, because they tell you not to use Q-tips. They say that's bad.
Yeah, and when did that happen? Like, when was the year that all of a sudden Q-tips were something you weren't supposed to use? Well, was it when somebody punctured their eardrum?
I thought that was the only thing Q-tips were for.
Nowhere on the box does it say put it in your ear.
Right. Yeah, and so we need to, that's something that we need to put on the list, Travis. So we need to do some investigative reporting on what Q-tips are for. If they're not for that, what are they for? And is that an old wives' tale? And is it actually for that?
Right. Let's get somebody that used to work for the company on the show, and we'll get to the bottom of Q-tip uses.
I bought a metal one that's like a spirally at the end. And they said that you can use that. That's okay. And then you just twist it around and it gets caught in like the spirally. It kind of looks like one of those things that like the little door stoppers at the bottom.
Like a little metal brush, like a brush guard.
No, it's not like a brush guard. It's like a little coil.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you're saying. So it's cool to shove a metal coil into your ear, but not a little cotton stick.
Well, yeah, that's, they said that it's actually for that. For sticking it in your ear.
So, in reality,
Kenny reaching out to us? What's going on with Kenny here? Supposed to have Kenny on the show.
Nope. Let me reach out to him. So, in reality, what we're saying here is that this giant company decided that the product that they had for cleaning your ears, it wasn't worth the potential lawsuit. So they're like, no, it's no longer for that, but this little startup that makes these metal coil things was like, oh, we'll take that chance.
Yeah, we'll just do it. Do you want me to go get it? Do you want me to show it to you? My little coil
yeah, thing? I would be interested.
Okay,
in
I'm gonna go get it real quick. You get Kenny and I'll show you guys both.
Yeah, I'll try to find Kenny here. So while Mike is going to look for his coil ear cleaner, which I would think was probably a tool that they probably used for like low grade home lobotomies, as opposed to cleaning ears.
See, Travis, it came in a 3-pack, and I just picked the one that is going to be mine. And I guess I can like, there's a gold one and a rose gold one and a silver one. And they came in a 3-pack. And can you see this good, or do I need to get closer?
Let me take a better look at that. Get a little closer. And that's a reusable, like how?
Yeah, you just wash it off in the sink, Travis. It's like a little coily guy.
How often are you supposed to get rid of those, or can you use it indefinitely?
I think you just use it indefinitely because it's metal. Ooh, it was a juicy one, Travis.
So I'm saying, you're either going to want to boil it or you're going to want to soak it in like alcohol, right? You don't have to just rinse it underwater.
Hey, Kenny, do you use Q-tips on your ears?
So I had to stop doing that because, the buildup issue where, you know, I had to go to the doctor and get it all flushed out.
Oh, you got it flushed out?
Yeah, I did. I had to take one of my kids to get that done a couple of times. And that was years ago, the first time we had done it. And they said, this is something we only have to do in the elderly generally. But now I find out that it's actually more of a common thing. I'm still not really sure how often you should get it done, if it's kind of damaging, because they're just like, you know, shooting water in there and blowing out, you know, popcorn size balls of wax. So
it feels
pretty
amazing, though. feels amazing once they flush that shit out of there.
Yeah. And I was a kid with ear problems. So, you know, I had like 12 years of trouble before I finally got some tubes in and got resolved. But now it's like years later, I think I need a little more extra maintenance in there.
So what are these people telling us that we're supposed to clean our ears with then? We're just supposed to let that shit naturally fall out, or just what? What are we doing?
So, man, I researched the hell out of this recently. So, you know, the candles, apparently those are bad, which, you know, seems, you know, like it should be. So kind of what is the
candle? What does the candle do?
Oh, Mike, you don't know the candle?
No, I've heard that there are candles, but I like there's not like an open flame involved, is there?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you stick a candle in your ear and you set it on fire.
No, you're being
sarcastic. It's got like a little tray so that, as long as you're not moving around too much, the wax should fall into this little tray. And what it supposedly does is it kind of like fills like the candlestick length full of like wax that it sucks out of your ear through the suction of the smoke. But I've seen a lot of stuff where it's like it's actually dumping like particles from the wax into your ear. So you want to stay away from it. The thing that I've been doing, though, is like a heat thing where I just, you know, take a heating pad and I put it on low and I just kind of like, lay on it for like, 20 minutes or so. And it opens up your like if you have like say if you were someone who needed to have like tubes in your ears, right, because you have drainage problems, this would kind of like force some drainage to happen just by like the heat, and then, creates like a little suction pool.
What do you do that, like once a week?
Give or take, when I first started doing it, I was doing it pretty often because I had like a big like crazy thing going on in there, and like my doctor did a thing where he shot it out, but he didn't take a look and make sure it was all gone. I was like, hey, you want to take a look? He's like, no, I got it all. I was like, you sure? It doesn't quite feel, I feel worse than I did when I came in here. Take a look. I think you just lodged a bunch of water behind something. He's like, nah, we're good. It's like 5 o'clock, and so I get out of there and I go home. I Google for a little bit, and then I flick on the heating pad and I lay on it, and after about like 5 minutes, I start feeling all kinds of stuff happen, So if you've got some ear cloggage going on, I'm no doctor or anything, Google it and, ask your doctor or whatever. But what I've been doing, it feels great, It kind of like took care of my problems, and now I'm just kind of doing it as like a little regular maintenance thing here or there.
Yeah, and nobody blame us if this is inaccurate information. We're just presenting a point of view. We're not trying to
tell you that.
I think
it's pretty awesome that this worked out as good as it did, Trevor. It seems like we got like an expert on the topic on accident. I don't even know how I got on earwax, and then we get this fucking guy who knows all this shit about earwax, Travis.
And Mike, I'm gonna tell you right now, because I'm having a hard time hearing you, I'm gonna step away, I'm gonna go do this, I'll be right back. Okay,
you're gonna go do the earwax in the heating pad thing? He really left.
Yeah, see, he's grabbing his extension cord right now. I see it. So yeah, it kind of seems like that's why I'm on the show, is to talk about ear care. So, college, you got any questions?
Kenny, we've never talked before. Like, we've known each other a long time, but I don't think we've ever talked before, have we?
We've conversed over email and
text,
Facebook Messenger.
You used to do a podcast. You used to do Howie at the Coffee Shop, which was on Strange Label, the station that we started a long time ago. And I guess we've known of each other for a long time, but we don't really like know each other. I had no idea that you made movies. You've been making movies since 2006.
When I started.
Weirdly enough, when I got your email, and I don't know if this is strange to say or not, but I was proud, Kenny. Is that weird? I was like, hey, look, Kenny's making movies. That's cool. So, I mean, we don't really know each other, but like, I was like, wow, that's really cool that this guy we know made a thing, Travis. Kenny's out there making horror movies about cannibal murder clowns.
I think it's pretty normal to feel that way. Like, like seeing that you guys are still like, at it and moving forward, that makes me feel proud. It's like we went to college together in a way or something.
Yeah, I was surprised when you reached out and Mike forwarded me that email and said, "Hey, look, we made a movie. You guys want to talk about it?" It's like, well, of course we want to talk about it. Like, we know Kenny. Like, why wouldn't we want to celebrate the fact that he made a motion picture? You know, I mean, I dabbled before being all of my random nicknames on this program. I dabbled in short films. We put a couple out there until me and my partner, you know, kind of separated ways. And like, now this is my outlet for, I wouldn't say creativity, because, you know, how creative is this show?
Yeah, you know, I understand it. That's kind of where the where podcasting came from me. You know, it's you know, filmmaking was very hard, and you know, I was getting a lot of writer for hire jobs, and all the movies kind of started coming out back to back, and I was just like less and less happy with each one that came out. You know, I was starting to feel like I was the only person involved in these projects that really cared about them from an artistic standpoint. So that, and then kind of moved across the country, and life was getting hard. So I decided I was going to try to give it up for a while, or give it up for good, really. You know, I was going to try. And it had really been a passion my whole life. So it was really hard to, you know, just kind of really be starting and then walking away, but I kind of felt like it was the responsible thing to do at that point. And then it's like 2 years later, you know, I'm starting this podcast, and then like our podcast is becoming like just these really elaborate radio plays with like, you know, full on like intense like sound effect tracks and stuff. And it's like, okay, man, this is crazy. Like look at all this production value we're putting into this fucking podcast. I'm not even sure who is listening to. And so, you know, you know, just the time that got involved in that, and then life got crazy again, you know, but it got crazy in a lot of really wild ways. So it's like, oh man, I need to kind of walk away from this too. And, you know, and then, after a while, couple of years of, you know, just kind of putting my life back together and getting things back to a normal state. You know, I kind of adopted that philosophy of the show must go on, and Homecoming Massacre, that was a film that I worked on for years, and, you know, I had some partners on it, and, you know, it kind of, you know, the ball was dropped by many people many times, you know, in post-production and getting it to kind of finally see the light of day. So,
When you say worked on it for years, you mean like the writing process took years, or like you filmed this a long ass time ago?
Yeah, I don't really say that to anyone's seen it, but yeah, we filmed that a long ass time ago. And, you know, the movie was edited a long ass time ago. So part of the gimmick of it was, you know, it's going to be a movie totally with practical effects. And at the time we were filming it, everything was CGI. So, you know, one of the producers from a company that's, you know, their name's no longer on the film or anything like that, you know, they made a call on the day that we were going to do what they call day for night, you know, this stuff that's happening at night. And it's like, all right, we're shooting during the day. And I was like, okay, look, so like, you know, number one, like this is supposed to be like a no effects movie. Number two, I'm not comfortable with that. And number three, I've never done it before. Number four, I don't want to do it. Number five, why can't we just like stay on schedule? And they, you know, they were like, no, we're gonna move everything, because it was shot in Indiana, and in Indiana it doesn't get dark till like 10:30 at night in the summertime, you know. So we were shooting this stuff at like 6 p.m. and it looked like bright daylight. So I don't know if you guys know what rotoscoping is, where you actually have to like cut the people out and like, you know, remove them from the background. But there was a lot of that required, because it wasn't shot properly for day for night, because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, this other guy is supposed to be kind of like acting as the post-production supervisor in this moment to make sure everything's shot properly.
We'll handle it in post. And then it's like, oh, now we got to handle it in post. Shit.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, like that company was supposed to take care of it in post-production. They didn't. So I hired a guy. This guy did like half a pass. Like basically it looks like he spent a day like working on one scene and then just kind of took those settings and threw it on the entire section of the movie that needed the day for night conversion. And then he held my footage hostage, and I had to pay him his entire rate before I even saw the footage, you know, just to get it back. So yeah, I spent, you know, I mean, this is part of the reason why I walked away. You know, it's like, I got this thing I'm really proud of, but it's like, I don't know how to finish it because something happened that was out of my control. And now I'm just kind of stuck in this position.
So, when you say you've been working on it for a long time, you mean you've been like dealing with political bullshit for a really long time?
You've been battling.
So there was some of that, but at the same time, you know, just hands on, you know, trying to figure it out. Like I, you know, some like the hardest scenes, I cashed in like favors from friends that I'm so grateful for, you know, because, you know, they did things I never would have been able to do. And, you know, there was one point, you know, I kind of got to as far as I could. I had cashed in all the favors. And then there was, you know, just a couple of minutes of the movie left. Right. And it's like I take this this rotoscoping course and it's like, OK, I'm ready to tackle it. I get into this scene, you know, because, you know, the movie is designed, you know, the camera's never steady. You know, it's not shaky, but it's meant to have, you know, a little life and movement into the frame. And, you know, the characters are always moving around. There's very little just standing and sitting in the movie, a couple scenes, but not very much. So, you know, anything that we have to cut someone out and change the background, basically, you know, it's just a task. It's basically animation, you know. And so I had to learn how to do that. And, you know, it took years. Thankfully, the technology in 2018, when I adopted that the show must go on mentality, thankfully, yeah, technology had gotten to a point where it's like all the skills that I had learned the few times I had tried to get this thing done, it had really kind of come to a good point. So, yeah, I wrapped everything up then and, you know, finished all the political pieces and started sending out to film festivals. And, you know, that's kind of the story of that.
Well, that's awesome to not like give up on something that you were passionate about. And even though it took so long and you had to go through so many fights that you stuck with it and you finally, you know, finally saw the light of day. Like that has to feel, you know, you have to feel vindicated at that point.
Yeah, it feels great because it's like it's not only mine, you know, it's like there's dozens of other people involved in this movie. And it's like, you know, I was, you know, I had to get it done for all of them. And, you know, it's just something I really wanted the world to see, and I couldn't let it sit there and I move on to something else.
Sure.
You know?
Like, look at all the time that we spent on this, guys. It's finally here. We finally did it. It's finally out and people can watch it.
It had been so long. Like, honestly, it had been 10 years between shooting and release of the movie. So we shot in 2011 and then, you know, finally hit DVD and Blu-ray October 19th of 2021.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's streaming on Amazon too. I guess point people in the right direction. You got homecomingmassacre.com.
You got a DVD? You got a DVD? Did you design the coverage? You have somebody else design what, you know, cuz I would assume that like a lot of horror fans, like myself included, I'm probably maybe a little bit older. I guess I don't know how old you are, but you know, the box art was always a huge thing for me. Growing up, did you design it? Did you have somebody design it? How did that work?
Yeah, so that was all my design. Slaved over it for a long time. There's a bunch of alternates. There's some cool other poster that we just kind of unveiled at a convention this weekend that I'm going to put on the website for sale pretty soon. It's sort of like the animated. Here, I'll let you guys take a sneak peek at it.
Okay, yeah, let's take a look. I like sneak peeks, Mike.
I think it's already on his website, Travis. I think I saw it already. It's a painting with the reflection in the knife. Is that? Yeah, it's on your website already, Kenny. I already saw it.
I like that.
It's cool.
Wait, you saw this?
I saw that.
It's already on the website?
It's already on the website, Kenny. Guys, go to homecomingmassacre.com. Check out the movie posters that Kenny just showed.
Put it on your website.
Damn it. I'll talk to that web guy later.
So what? So you're actually, now that pandemic things are clearing up, you're actually going to conventions and stuff and like getting booths and saying, hey, watch my movie? Is that what I gather from that?
Yeah. Basically, you know, trying to make the rounds wherever I can. Trying to stay indoors and stay away from the vaccination as long as I could, you know, let them figure out their scientific stuff and work out the kinks.
Sure.
But it's like, okay, I guess it's time. So yeah, I went and I got my shots, and I'm not a needle guy. Like I sometimes pass out and have seizures just at the sight of the needle. It's really bad. Yeah. Not good. But, you know, I did it. I hope I did the right thing.
Well, and that's the thing now, too. Like, there's enough conventions that I see popping back up. I know a lot of them were canceled for a super long time. And, you know, the one that I usually go to, they're moving full steam ahead this year, too. And that's the one of the things that I like the most about going to horror conventions is actually seeing, you know, low budget, no budget filmmakers, you know, bring their movies and have a booth. You know, it's cool to see like all of these old actors and get signatures and get pictures and everything. But one of my favorite things is seeing people with their movies trying to get their movie seen. So that's really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it. I found so many great things at those conventions all over the country. You know, it's like so many neat things happening that you probably would not hear about otherwise.
Right. You know? And people are so cool. Like there's no, you know, when I go by myself. I don't have like a group of friends that I, you know, share the same passion as I do. But, you know, I've never not felt like I haven't found a core group of friends or, you know, even if I don't hang out with a specific person all weekend, everybody's so friendly. They're there for the love of the thing. And, you know, I feel like most of them feel the same way, too, is like, when people are trying to bring their unseen movie, like, please take a look. We're passionate about these things, that they're very receptive to those things. So I wish you luck with the convention circuit, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hoping I can make some new friends and you know, share the movie with some people.
Absolutely. You got another one coming out more sooner than later that you've already done?
Yes, I'm super excited about it. It's called The Cool Kids, and it's going into festival submission here, you know, starting next week. We're going to start sending, you know, the first festival cut out.
That's pretty cool, Kenny.
That is pretty cool.
Okay, yeah, I'm Travis, excited. Travis, so, when you were going and cleaning your ears, I was telling Kenny that we're proud of him.
We are proud of him. We had talked about that. It's like good for him, and it's always nice to see. I guess we could consider each other peers at some point, and then that, you know, to see people go out and, you know, follow their passions and actually create something that they can bring out to the world is always a very exciting time. And also, I wasn't cleaning my ears. I needed a drink because I didn't get one at the break. So
it was theater of the mind.
I didn't check. I'll do the ear thing some other time.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell people. They could have just believed you.
They probably figured.
Guys, Kenny's movie, it's called Homecoming Massacre. It's you go to homecomingmassacre.com, you can get all the links there. I saw the fucking DVDs at Walmart, Travis.
Holy shit!
You could buy the DVD at Walmart.
You made a real thing there, Kenny.
Walmart, Best Buy, FYE. You know, your favorite store, pretty much, except for the one with the expensive coffee shop in the front. They don't carry it.
They didn't want it.
I guess not.
Well, congratulations. And, you know, we're totally going to have to do this again once you start making moves with the cool kids. And we can discuss the process behind that. It's good for you, man.
Absolutely. I'm excited. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kenny. I'm proud of Kenny.
Yeah, I am, too. I mean, you know, anytime people actually, you know, they're living their lives, they think, oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. Look at what Kenny went through with something he shot over 10 years ago and all of the trials and tribulations. And he's like,
Jesus Christ. Travis, you got a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about, Travis?
Yeah, baby. I got a pick of the week. I just watched this last night. It's a motion picture called Old Henry. Starring Tim Blake Nelson, who you would know as a wonderful character actor.
He was in that Netflix Coen Brothers movie, right? Is that the right
thing? Yeah, and he was also the stand-in for Rorschach in the HBO Watchmen series. He was the mirror-faced guy.
Oh.
So this is a motion picture that takes place in Oklahoma Territory in 1906. He lives with his young son. His wife died years ago, and they're, you know, his son is kind of cabin fevery. He's getting a little bit older. He's like, why is our life so boring? We are farmers, and this sucks. And all of a sudden, one day, the Tim Blake Nelson, Old Henry, finds a half dead guy. Not far from his property with a gun and a bag full of money. They nurse him back to health. He claims to be a sheriff of a neighboring territory that is being chased by a group of bank robbers, and that he needs help from old Henry. And there are some surprising twists. There's some amazing acting in there. Tim Blake Nelson does a great job. Stephen Dorff plays a character in there, and he's always wonderful. But there's a couple of surprise twists at the end. But an amazing, amazing movie, some good action, but just really well acted. And I can't recommend it enough. It is currently playing on Showtime, if you have Showtime.
I have Showtime.
Yeah, it's on demand. You can pull it. It's only like an hour and 28 minutes. So if you're like me and cannot sit down for a movie that's 2.5 hours most of the time, it's a quick watch. It's a simple story, but it's very good. And I mean, you're enjoying it all the way through, and then the twist pops and you're like, holy shit, I didn't see that coming. It's really good. So watch it in highly shifts. Recommend.
Yeah. Hey, Travis, pick of the week, that Gordon Ramsay elevator show.
How is that?
We've been watching it. Gordon Ramsay elevator show is great, Travis. They got three levels, and if you're shitty, you go down. And if you're good, you go up. And like the good kitchen has good stuff. And then there's a medium kitchen and it has okay stuff. And then the basement's a shithole. And so like
the basement's got like potted meat and stuff.
Well, what happens is the elevator has all the ingredients and it starts off at the top. Oh. So like all the top people get to pick the good shit. And the medium people get to pick the medium shit. And then like whatever's left, those motherfuckers down at the bottom get. And you just kind of got to prove yourself like with what you got.
Three Brussels sprouts and a busted carrot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they have shitty ovens and shitty ingredients. And they just have to figure it out.
And that's also got Chef Richard Blaze in it, right?
The guy with the poofy hair, yeah. And
yeah, the poofy hair guy.
There's like a black lady on it, too.
Pops up on grocery games a lot.
I don't know who any of those chef people are, but I guess, do you think that the chef people, when they become television stars, I guess that just makes your restaurant more profitable because then people want to visit?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're a TV
there's
star.
One guy that there's one guy that pops up on Guy's Grocery Games a lot, and obviously he's been, I think he was on Iron Chef and a couple other things too, and he started out with a ramen shop, and I think this is still his restaurant. He lives in like South Dakota, and he owns a ramen shop, you know? So, I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, really? I mean, it's stupid garbage TV, but I'm enjoying the hell out of it watching these people. There's like a Chinese gal on it. It's funny, Travis, because like they have all the ethnicities, and like they all talk about their ethnicity a lot. And so then like it's blind taste tests. But like, you know, they're putting their identity on their dishes. So like they know who they are. It's like, yeah, the person who made wontons is probably a Chinese gal, you know, because
look at all the Thai flavors in this dish. It's got to be that gal.
Right. Right. And so like they talk about, oh, yeah, this is a traditional Indian dish that my Indian mom made. And so they're like, oh, the Indian food. I don't know who made this. And it's like, maybe it's
that
the Indian
gal. That
must have
been Darnell.
Yeah. it's a fun show. We've been binging it lately, and it's
and that's on Fox, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's stupid, but we're enjoying it anyway. So
I'll take a look. I like stupid cooking shit.
Stupid cooking shit, Travis, makes the world go round. Gotta eat, you know.
Gotta eat,
guys. We did it. Check out the Homecoming Massacre. It's streaming on Amazon. You can buy the DVD at Walmart. There's not rentals anymore, Travis. So, you know,
get it,
get it,
just get it. Smash that like and subscribe button.
Right. Yeah. Follow us on something, I guess.
Follow us on the socials, and also smash that subscribe button.
Right.
Here's the link.
Do all those things. We'll do better next week, guys. Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. If you enjoyed it, subscribe, share it with a friend. Hey, consider supporting the show on Patreon at patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us at twitch.tv/WFODshow or youtube.com/user/WFODix. Should figure out a way to make that better. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-4263 or email travis@wfodix.com with comments, questions, guest suggestions, or whatever. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Amanda, Val, Brian, and Liquid. Also, a special thank you to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Visit WFOD Show for more. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Well, bye.